Welcome to TJ Slideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buchenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And getting things started again on another edition here at TJ Slideways Live. First of all, I want to thank everyone from racesontheweb.com. We had some technical problems last week, and they were quick to get everything up and running. We could have actually done the show last week, but we erred on the side of caution. We wanted to go ahead and see what was going on, and that leads us into our first guest, who has had a bunch of really big news come out the past couple of weeks. Two big races in 2014 at the Lucas Oil Raceway at Indianapolis. Also, a 200-lap wing sprint car race at the Anderson Speedway. And also, for the next 3 years, it's going to be the sanctioning body of the Little 500 from Must See Racing. Our good friend Jim Hanks joins us again on the line. And, Jim, you guys have been burning up our inbox the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've been busy preparing for next year, and of course, as you said, the year after that, and finally the year of 2016. Pretty excited about it.
Well, let's start with the Little 500 agreement. This is a huge deal for you guys. You will be the sanctioning body for the next three seasons of the Little 500. And even though your forte is a winged sprint car series, the Little 500 is a nice cornerstone for the Must See Racing Tour.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, when you look back to when Must See Racing first started, Rick Dawson of Anderson Speedway had enough confidence in our idea that's when we started to sanction the Little 500. And part of our job in doing that was to attract more cars. You know, at that time, I don't want to say they were struggling for cars, but they were certainly not getting what they had been in previous years. So that's how it all started, and we've been very successful in getting outstanding fields. The event is this past year 65 years old. You know, it's our centerpiece. There's no question about it. And the idea that it's a non-wing race based on that 65 years of tradition, it's a non-points race for us. It was a good fit, certainly for Must See, and it was a good fit for Anderson Speedway in the event. And, I think last year was a great example. I mean, we had some of the biggest names in racing at that event, and it was a quality race. So, we're just going to extend what we've done, the work we put into it. The track's happy with us. We love the track, and we renewed our program for the next 3 years.
And in addition to that, you guys are going to have a Labor Day event at Anderson Speedway. And some of the details are still being worked out about this, but a few things have been ironed out. And you guys are going to have an extended distance race for the wing sprint cars at Anderson this year.
Yeah, we're really pumped up about that one. You know, racing from year to year changes. And, you know, one of the changes let's call it the marketplace, the fan base, is wing sprint cars have become very, very popular. And the idea of a long-term race, because we have the Must See Racing 60 there, the Wednesday preceding the Little 500, and we've also renewed that for 3 years, a 60-lapper. And I can tell you, the race teams like it because it's a short track. It gives them a chance to compete. And, you know, if they have a little trouble during the race or if they qualify well and get put in the inversion box, it gives them a chance to get up to their front. And so the teams like it. The fans certainly like it because they're going to see in more racing on the same night. And the idea to have 200 laps came up at the home of the Little 500. So what we've got there is, you know, what's known as the most entertaining sprint car race in America, the Little 5 without the wings. And we're not copying it. We're just following what the demand is for the fan base and also what the race team's like. And we think 200 laps is a perfect fit. It's certainly the right track. We think Labor Day is the right time. And 200 laps, it's going to be an exciting race. We're looking forward to it.
Any idea of what the format is going to look like for that race, or is that still something you guys are tinkering with a bit?
No, we don't have that finalized. You know, we're kicking around some ideas. You know, there's a lot of elements to go into that decision. You know, what works to keep it competitive and fair and level playing field for the race teams, and what's entertaining for the race fans. You know, Little Five has two mandatory live pit stops. You know, it's 500 laps, you know, with the 200 laps, and we've done 100 laps there before, with a competition yellow for a break. We'll be announcing that shortly, but, you know, our whole idea here is to make this something new, make it different, and, you know, what we're pointing towards is to make it a unique race. I think 200 laps, you know, it was just done out in Salt Lake City, and that got some real attention. And, you know, we're not playing copycat on them because we've been working on this for over a year, but we just think because of the size of the track, the speed of the track, 200 laps is just going to be an exciting, exciting race. I think the teams will like it, and, you know, I can guarantee you the race fans are going to like it. It's going to be a heck of a race.
And the other big announcement, you are not only going back to Lucas Oil Raceway at Indianapolis once, but twice in 2013. You're going to be there in May, the Friday before the inaugural Indianapolis Grand Prix for the IRL, that new road race event at the Speedway. And then also the Friday night of the Brickyard 400 weekend. And that's going to put you guys in the spotlight. And when did discussions start with Lucas Oil Raceway about doing two events, and how did that all come together?
Well, we've had a good relationship with Lucas Oil Raceway. We had a race there in 2012 that worked for everyone. You know, it was a good race, you know, fast, a lot of speed, big track, great venue, you know, that's owned by the National Hot Rod Association. And we had an event scheduled there this year, which we got rained out. And that was extremely disappointing to me, to our series, to our race teams, and to the fans. There had been a lot of interest in that race. We were unable to reschedule it simply because when you schedule a race at Lucas Oil Raceway, with their drag strip right next door, which is very, very active, it's hard to get a date because they use the oval track for parking and events on their drag racing events. So, you know, we clearly saw there was a big interest in the Wing Sprints running there. And, you know, we've been talking about getting the dates in alignment with some of the things at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And, you know, the track management now sees, I guess, the wisdom in that. They think it'll be a good event for their fans, and we're certainly excited to be there. I mean, it's, you know, pretty obvious what we're doing. I mean, there's a lot of people from around the world in town for the IndyCar race on May 10th, the inaugural road course race. We'll be right up the road the night before. And, of course, the Brickyard 400, the big NASCAR race, you got the same conditions. So it gives us a chance to offer a different kind of racing entertainment to both the IndyCar fans and the NASCAR fans that they might not have seen before, and we think they're going to like it. You know, I know the race we had at Bristol Motor Speedway certainly turned a lot of stock car people into sprint car fans.
And Lucas Oil Raceway, for anyone who hasn't been there to see the Wing Sprint cars, if you've seen them at Winchester and Salem and you like what you saw there, you're going to love what you see at Lucas Oil Raceway, because even though it's a flat oval, the cars carry so much speed there. It was just so blistering fast, and the racing was pretty good there. Mother Nature not liking it so much last year, but the year before, that was a great program.
Yeah, you know, and it's, I mean, Indianapolis is the epicenter of open wheel racing in the world. And in all honesty, you know, when we started Must See Racing 5 years ago, if you said the words winged paved sprint car out loud, you might get arrested. You know, traditionally it was an all nine wing and only nine wing. And through the years, and we like to think is because of our product, which is high speed, a lot of passing wing sprint cars. The fan base there in Indianapolis has really got attracted to the wing sprint cars. And you're right. A lot of them have seen us at places like Salem and Winchester and, of course, Anderson. And, you know, they've changed their mind. They like it. They like it a lot. We're happy about that.
So now that we know, you know, about four or five of the dates for next year so far, how many races do you, you know, I don't want to put you in a box to commit, overcommit, and then not be able to, you know, have someone back out or something, but what are you looking at ideally for a schedule for 2014 for the Must See Series?
We're going to have 20 races, and we'll have that announced probably by the end of this month. You know, we've added some new tracks, and I can mention a couple of them. We'll be going to Bear Field. Here in Michigan, we've got an event at Owosso Speedway. And, of course, all the tracks we were at last year. And we're changing up a little bit. You know, when we started Must See Racing, the idea for the race teams of let's race a little less for more was attractive to them. Well, that's changed again. They want to race. So if that's what they want, we're happy to fulfill that need for speed. And we're going to stay a little closer to home. We are going to open the year in Florida and Alabama with the Southern Shootout at Five Flags Speedway in Mobile. And outside of that, you know, we're pretty much going to stick to the Midwest.
And some great venues there as well. You also have your television program. How's that been going this winter so far?
Well, that's, you know, that's always been really doing great. You know, we move it around from year to year. You know, we started out with cable, Comcast Sportsnet Chicago on a regional basis. Then it grew to 28 different cable distributors, and then one year we were on Fox Sports. That would have been in 2012. And this year we went back to all cable distribution, but with some powerhouse distributors, and that would be led by MAV TV. Now, MAV TV is owned by Lucas Oil. And, you know, when Speed closed their doors, MAV TV took advantage of that and is very clearly becoming the next racing network. And we watched them grow just this year from, I think it was 26 million homes. They're all the way up, I think, to 38 million households. But right now we've got 28 different cable distributors throughout the country. We go to in the neighborhood of 120 million households. And keep in mind, there's only 110 million households in America. So in many, many places, you can watch Must See Racing different ways. You know, MAV TV is on Dish Network. They're on DirecTV. You know, they're on Comcast. And I'll give you an example. Here in Michigan, we're on Comcast, Channel 900. And it changes really from day to day, but for the most part, we're on two times every day. In the last month or so, on Friday nights, we're on at 7 o'clock, and Saturday afternoons at like 4 o'clock, and then Sunday nights. And, you know, during football season in America, to get those time slots is pretty spectacular. And, of course, MAV TV, we're on every Thursday at 4 o'clock p.m., and we're on every Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock p.m.
And that consistent time slot on MAV TV, you can check out the wing sprint cars there. So an aggressive schedule for next year and some great new venues here. Breaking news on TJ Slideways Live here with Jim Hanks from the Must See Racing Series. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, your year's not over yet. You guys have a special event coming up.
We do. We're going to be in what's called the Mason-Dixon Meltdown in Kinley, North Carolina at the Southern National Motorsports Park. Great facility. I mean, it's outstanding. You know, it's a NASCAR track. And the Mason-Dixon Meltdown is, this will be the eighth year they've done it. It's a very, very big, super late model and late model event, you know, with some very recognizable names. You know, Kenseth's son will be there, Larry McReynolds' son will be there. You know, all the up-and-coming young super and late model stars are going to be at this event. And they were kind enough to invite us to be a part of it. And we're really looking forward to that, too, because people in North Carolina haven't seen too many winged paved sprint cars. So it ought to be just an outstanding event. And that's November 23rd, the weekend before Thanksgiving. We're going to have a test open track on Friday night, the 22nd. We race, actually the racing starts in the afternoon. We're billed as the headliner, so we'll be under the lights, but everyone will get out of there early, and then Sunday's a rain date. So they're good people, and it's the PASS is the organization that's putting this together. They're the ones that do the super late models and the late models.
So a big event to close out your year a real special way. And plus you get out of the cold weather for a little bit before Thanksgiving if you're from up here. So I know that people like Hellberg and those guys won't really be getting out of the weather that much, the people from warmer climates. But for those of us here in the north, that will be a welcome trip in November.
Well, you know, an early race and a late race, that's a big event and new to everyone, is always exciting. And more important than that, it's just fun. You know, we have that Southern Shootout, as I mentioned earlier. I think most of our teams will tell you that they just have a blast going to that race. I mean, it's serious competition, and they race hard, and they go to race. But they also have a really good time where they're down there, and that's what our expectation is for this race. You know, we think it's at the right time of year. Like I say, it's a great facility. It's an event that's been there for a while that's very popular. And you mentioned it first, but trust me, being in North Carolina in November, I'm looking forward to that one.
For sure. Well, Jim, it's been a fun year, and we're starting to wind our way through champions and stuff for the past year. So if you had to pick out one of your races where you probably had the most fun, it was the most enjoyable this year, which one would you narrow it down to?
You know, that's a tough call, because I got to tell you, probably 80% of our races this year really went, you know, as you write it down in the book. You know, we had a great race at Kilcare. A little short track that looked like it, you know, it had yellow flag written all over it. We had a 50-lap race there with one yellow. It was just a spin-out. That was a great race. A little 500 this year. Personally, I probably got the most satisfaction out of that. And, you know, I mean, I'm competitive. And I'm a race fan, and, you know, when five of USAC's big stars decided to come to the Little 500, you know, they came with a lot of fanfare, you know, which translates to they're coming to kick some booty. And JoJo Hellberg set fast time, came in second, and Jacob Wilson won it, and they're our regular racers. So my competitive side, I mean, I absolutely was delighted with that race. Our championship at Berlin was a good night. You know, we went into that where at the end of qualifying, JoJo Hellberg and Brian Gerster were literally tied in points for our championship, and there was just a lot of drama. I mean, you could, you know, cut the excitement in the air with a knife, and you know, unfortunately, JoJo broke in the feature, and, you know, it took a little wind out of those sails for just a moment, because I think the top two guys wound up trading the lead three times in the last two laps. And the top five guys, you could have thrown a beach towel over them. So that was a great night. I really can't pick the one I like the most. My competitive nature, I would have to say the Little Five was spectacular. As far as just outright entertainment, Kilcare was awful darn good. And as far as running a race series, Berlin's right up there with them. It was a good year.
Well, Jim, it was great working with you again this year, and I'm really excited about a couple of those big announcements tonight on the show, especially that Owosso track. That's one that, if you haven't been there yet, I have yet to see a bad sprint car race at that place, and I'm really looking forward to going there in 2014.
Well, and, you know, that's going to be a big event. You know, the details haven't been announced yet, but this is a part of a big festival with the city of Owosso. If people can stay tuned to our website, I think they'll see there's going to be a three-day event there that is going to bring probably 75,000 people to that town. And we're feel very fortunate and happy to be a part of it. And we'll be making those announcements here shortly.
All right, Jim, well, we'll look forward to seeing those. And best of luck over through the winter. And look forward to when that full schedule comes out, having you on the show again. Thank you very much.
Okay, my friend, we sure appreciate it. And thanks a million for having me on. And keep up the great work, PJ.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Jim Hanks from the Must See Racing Series. And some big announcements there. Man, Owosso, some of those places, Bear Field, some awesome racetracks being added to the 2014 Must See Racing Series. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Bill Wright's going to come on and discuss the announcement of the 2014 Knoxville Raceway schedule. And we'll also break down the upcoming Short Track Nationals. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Must See Racing brings you the fastest short
track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead folks in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season. Featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunder Stocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Yeah, okay.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. My next guest, sprint car, expert, I like to call him, and also works at the Knoxville Raceway, Bill Wright, joining us. Bill, good to have you on again.
Thanks, TJ. I'm sorry we didn't get to spend more time during Nationals, though we were both pretty busy.
Wednesday.
Not like the old days where we could just have ice cream and such.
Yeah, I know. We weren't hanging out very much. I think Wednesday in Knoxville was probably the busiest motorsport single day I've ever had in my life. I mean, it was crazy, but thankfully I actually did get to enjoy it towards the end of the week a bit more. I mean, I know you're busy with the Raceway there, but actually, believe it or not, on Saturday, I tell people once everything's kind of set and done, in the time in the morning until the A main drivers meeting is actually pretty relaxing for me. And then once the A main drivers meeting breaks up, it's all work from there.
Yeah, definitely. But, it's good not to have to worry about points or anything after Wednesday and Thursday, and then you get into. Our Friday format, which I'm sure you enjoyed compared to the old days.
Man, that was actually my favorite part of the week, to be honest, was the Friday format. And I've heard some people, the one argument I can't understand, especially me, is someone grumbling about why Friday night isn't the way it used to be. I'm like, holy cow, what more could you want out of a Friday night show than what you got out of this year?
Where was that one person? I never heard of it, so...
We actually heard a couple of them. I walk around the grounds, and I'm just like, man, you must just complain. I'm thinking to myself, you must just complain about everything. Yeah. I mean, if you didn't enjoy that, that was probably, in my return, my favorite part of the Nationals. Like I said, it was my favorite part of the week, honestly. The best stories that we wrote out of that week and the most interesting storylines I felt came out of Friday night.
Yeah, definitely. And I used to enjoy the race of states, too. You know, you took one from each state, and the high point man in each state raced, and I used to like that too. So Friday used to be one of my favorites too, but it got kind of anticlimactic, I guess, over the years there. And I think it's a great twist that they threw in, and I think it's really increased interest in Friday for sure, just looking at the stands. So.
And you got to remember, I didn't get to come to Knoxville until after television came to Knoxville, so I didn't get to see the quote unquote fun years, as people call them sometimes. But that's why I say I debate that though, because I mean they're all kind of fun. I mean I don't think I've ever had a bad time out there. You know, granted I haven't had my car break down or anything crazy like that. Thankfully, knock on wood. But you guys did come out with a 2014 schedule last week, which people always kind of I don't want to say they overreact, but people freak out a little bit when they see this and their favorite race isn't on there. But we were just talking off there. If you don't see your favorite race on there, don't freak out yet, because this thing isn't written in stone, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of fluid. I mean, our schedule doesn't change much from year to year. You know, people really concentrate on August with the Nationals, and they go to the 360 Nationals, and then they look at where the late model Nationals are, the rest of the schedule's filled in there. You know, this isn't a monster truck show, but we had a big monster truck event that was really successful in September, that brought over 10,000 people on Saturday night into the stands. So, that was another thing that they're going to repeat this year. So, we talked a little bit off air too. We really struggled with weather on the first Outlaw show. We had a stiff north wind and, just colder than heck and tough for anybody to sit in the stands. I don't know if I would have been able to do it either. And, that's really tough when you bring the Outlaws in. And then I think the other night we had like an 80% chance of rain and still got the show in, and the Outlaws were kind of going on a string there up at Jackson and Knoxville where it was supposed to rain, and then I just missed the Speedway. So they really took a hit a little bit, I think, on the Outlaw shows, and I think that's reflected in the schedule a little bit, and it kind of goes back and forth. You see some TBAs on there, so you never know what else might be in there. The folks at the Raceway there, Brian Stickle and John McCoy, they'll work hard on getting a good schedule together and getting it finalized here as we get into the off season.
Do you like the fact that the 360 Nationals precedes the 410 Nationals now in the same, you know, stretch of races, or did you like it better when it was separated by a couple months?
Well, being as old as I am, I do remember all of them. So, but they were very sparsely attended when they stood by themselves, and this has really helped the attendance, and also the car count has really gone up. If you look at the car counts throughout the years, you know, you get a lot of those guys that might be coming in for the 410 Nationals that'll be there the week before as well to race, where they wouldn't show up in May or June, and just to run the 360 Nationals by themselves. So I think it's really helped the whole event. And then, you know, we've done some different things on Sunday. You know, we had the Brodix Tournament of Champions for a while. We brought in the USAC Non-Wing Nationals. But nothing has been as well attended as the Capitani Classic the last couple of years, so I think they'll probably we'll probably see that now for a while, and it gives those 410s a chance to really get things dialed in for Wednesday, Thursday, and of course it's also affected Terry shows down in Oskaloosa as well, and some of the formats there. So you know, those are all things that. From year to year, you just got to kind of adjust and see how it works.
And you guys have tweaked with that a little bit, and it's still a great week of racing. Another thing that has been built on, we're a sprint car show, but I'm kind of curious, how's the late model Nationals being received? Is that event continuing to grow? What's your take on the late model Nationals and how it's doing as an event?
The last several years has been very, very successful. This year we probably lost a few because, again, we had rain during the day, you know, and those folks driving in for the finals from Illinois or Minnesota or Missouri or Nebraska, you know, they see the forecast, and we never had any doubt where we were sitting that it was going to run. You know, we knew we were going to get some afternoon rain, but it's different with the late model racing. You know, you get those guys out there and run the track in, and it's a little different. We just knew it was going to go off, and our push trucks, drivers did a great job of getting the infield ready all day, and you know, weather unfortunately can be a great thing for a promoter, but a lot of times it's their worst enemy is our internet and being able to look at weather like that. You know, if you have a reputation of trying to get shows in, then you're not going to have to worry about it. If you go to Lincoln and Speedway in Pennsylvania or somewhere like that, I mean, I sat through three different rain delays before they got the race in one time, and other places you'll get a drizzle and they'll call it off. So, you know, it depends on the reputation of the track too, but I think weather really affects things, and it affected our Saturday night crowd, I think. But it's been a real success, the late model Nationals, the past several years, and you know, it's on television, it's been popular on television as well. So I think people really enjoy it, and we get a lot of sprint car fans out for that as well that I see. So yeah, it's been really well attended. That's probably too much time on late models.
that's fine because now we can move away from Knoxville, and you can put your hose heads hat on now, and we can talk sprint car racing and the short track Nationals this week. And I know that's one of your favorite events traditionally, and you've been to it many times. So for someone like me that always kind of looks at it and goes, oh, maybe, and hasn't made the plunge yet, why should you go to Little Rock?
It's a must see for any race fan. You know, I was talking to Brian Brown yesterday, and he said he's a race fan. He's a driver. He said if he wasn't a driver, that'd be one race that he'd go to every year as well, along with the Knoxville Nationals. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. You got a quarter mile, but the locals you have there, you know, it kind of reminds me of going to Central PA. You know, they have that place dialed in. Your motor, you know, is not really that big a factor. You got to get hooked up to this quarter mile of red clay. And, you know, there's some bank to it. you know, and each night you go, it just seems like the track is different. You know, this year there's four nights of racing. I bet the track's different every night. You know, it could be tacky, sticky all night long. You know, it gets cool and humid late at night. Dare I say cold. And, you know, it can stay tacky all night long. It could be dry slick with two or three grooves. You know, I've seen it rubber down. You know, I've seen all different kinds of tracks, and you just have to keep adjusting to it. And the locals there seem to have it figured out. You know, I was talking to Brian Brown yesterday, and he said, you know, he can see a number 30 ahead of him in a heat race and not know who it is. He'll look over, they have an open trailer, and he said they'll just drive away from him in the heat like he's standing still. And that's kind of the beauty of it. You know, if you're not from that area, you might not be as familiar with some of their locals, like Zach Pringle or Cody Gardner or the Jenkins or some of those guys down there that really run it. Most people know Tim Crawley, but the guys who really run that track well, you know, you can get surprised out of the Memphis area, out of Little Rock area, the locals there that really got those quarter miles at the ditch and I-30 figured out. So I think that's the biggest draw is it's always surprises. You never know who's going to be there at the end of the night, and there's always somebody that surprises you that makes the finale on Saturday night.
Who do you think's your pick to win the deal, and who's maybe a name that might surprise some people at this year's Short Track Nationals?
I think it's pretty interesting. You know, Brian Brown is really hot right now. He's got two wins in a row here. He won the Shaheen's Blast from the Past for $4,000 at the quarter mile at Jacksonville, Illinois, a couple weeks ago. And then he went down to the Devil's Bowl and won the Winter Nationals. So he's really on a roll, and he's always driven well at Little Rock. Terry McCarl's going to return down there for the first time since it was an outlaw show, which was the early 90s. And he's driving for a team out of South Dakota. And Jeremy Skadden's the number 6 team, and I think they'll be a team to look at. Shane Stewart is somebody that you can never count out of that thing. Tony Bruce Jr., of course, is going to be there. And I think it's really interesting that Roger Crockett's going to be there out of the Pacific Northwest, and he's going to be actually driving the car that won the thing last year, and that's Donnie Cooper's 01 that Paul McMahon won in last year. And, of course, Paul is not able to compete this year because he's a platinum member with the Outlaws, which could be a whole other show. But so keeps some of those guys away. I think it's one of the main reasons the Outlaws made that rule, because a lot of them are running it every year before the Charlotte race. So, you know, as far as your locals go, Tim Crawley is going to be one of the ones to look for, and he's always one to look for there at Little Rock, and always strong. And there's always some surprises, you know, that come in. And along with your ASCS regulars, you know, Jason Johnson, Brad Loyette's been strong there recently. I think he's had a couple top sixes. Johnny Herrera and those guys, of course, will all be in attendance as well. So you know, I'm missing a lot of big names because most of them are there this weekend. So,
yeah, and there's some different flavors coming into the deal this year. Jason Barney out in New York, we see him at the Canadian Nationals quite a bit. He runs really well. He's a guy that can sneak up and surprise you at some of these big races. Seems like he does it at Oshwegan every year and such. And a couple other names, just scrolling through the list. Kevin Swindell entered again this year, and Kevin's been pretty much on a roll. He hasn't made many starts, but, man, when he gets hooked up there with the 71 team, they've been going real well, you know, every time out.
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he hadn't driven a sprint car before Nationals week, you know, and he finished on the podium about every night except I think it was the last night. I mean, wherever whatever he raced, he was on the podium. Of course, he won the Capitani Classic, and that was crazy. I think there were 82 cars. I think he was the 82nd one to come out for time trials. And after that, nobody could really complain about their draw because he drew last and won the race. So, Kevin's just tough. I mean, he's tough every time out, and you know, it'll just be interesting to see who shows up. You know, I saw there were 10 more entries or so today, so you never know who might show up. I saw Jason Sides has entered, and some other guys that will be strong. So,
and another Ariston, David Gravel in the 82 car this week, so he's going to be the latest name on the chalkboard on the side of that car.
Yeah, I don't remember David running, unless he ran last year at the Short Track Nationals. So that should be interesting. You know, Jack Dover, keep an eye on him. There's just a lot of guys that will be competing down there. As far as the guys that are on a roll, you know, Brian Brown's really on a roll right now. You look at some recent races. Johnny Herrera ended up taking the Hockett Memorial, I believe. You know, Wheatland's a little boring too. So, keep an eye on those guys. But then, you know, those locals like Zach Pringle, Cody Gardner, Tim Crawley, you know, even though Tim's running some of the national series, you know, those are guys to be looking at as well as far as the finals.
And we're kind of starting to look back at the whole season and the season as a whole, and things are winding down. And what was the most enjoyable single night of racing you took in this season? Well, if it was at Knoxville, then name one that wasn't at Knoxville in addition to that.
Well, it probably would have definitely been in Knoxville, but you know, one that really might not have been the closest race I saw a lot this year, but let me give you two. One that I really enjoyed was the Ohio Speed Week stop at Eldora. You had Jack Hodenshield up on the wall, and I haven't seen cars up on the wall like that at Eldora for years, and who's trailing him but Dave Blaney? You know, how many years has it been since I've seen those two guys, you know? And Dave was probably 6 inches lower than I saw him last time there. man, it was just cool to see Hodenshield up on the wall. And I know that wasn't the only race he won there this year. He just won there last weekend or the weekend before. But, you know, that was kind of neat to see, you know, for us old-timers. And another one that was really entertaining is with the Sprint Invaders. I announced for the Sprint Invaders series out of Southeast Iowa and Illinois, and Russ Hall won from 17th on the second of a twin features this year, and I mean that was quite a drive too, where he came up through the field, and that was probably one of the more exciting shows I saw this year. But I've had an opportunity to see quite a few. The Kokomo Outlaw show, I was able to get out there for that, where Kyle Larson was banging off the wall until he tangled with a lap car and got knocked out of that one, and Kading ended up winning it. But how entertaining was that? And it's always fun at Kokomo, no matter who's racing there. I guess those are some of the more enjoyable ones just off the top of my head. The Elko Outlaw Show in Elko, Minnesota. There were just a few that I saw this year that were really entertaining outside of Knoxville, which, you know, is hands down side by side. You know, there's 2-3 groups every night at Knoxville. It's just fun to watch, and you wouldn't think cars going that fast would be that close to racing, but it is every single week. So in all three classes, so that's, we're spoiled here. So
yeah, you know, I always joke that I talk about racing and facilities when it comes to sprint car racing. Like, I take Eldora and Knoxville out of the equation, and a couple of others that are just hands down, like, resources, everything. But then when you get right down to the racing, then I'll compare everyone else on the next tier, because it, you know, facility wise and stuff, it's hard to compare a lot of those smaller places to places like that. So yeah, it's just kind of, yeah, that's why I ask the multi-tiered question like that. So I usually post that to any Knoxville regular.
For us that aren't novice fans though, us real fans of sprint car racing, we look at the track conditions of the track. You know, we're not really concerned about bathrooms all the time. You know, the novice fan who will come back is that's really important. You know, I'm somewhat a food snob, but I look at the track and the racing on the track, and you know, a lot of these tracks we're talking about, the facilities aren't the greatest. Some of them are, but when you go on the track, you know, the racing action, I think us fans who have been around a while, who really enjoy sprint car racing, I think that's the key for us.
So. I agree wholeheartedly. Well, Bill, appreciate you coming on a couple times this year. It's been great visiting with you as always, and look forward to visiting with you again throughout the 2014 season.
I look forward to it too, TJ, and it's good to have you back in Knoxville, and we'll look forward to it again next year.
All right. Already starting to make plans. Already made my reservation, too, so I'm all set there. So.
All right.
Bill Wright joining us from Knoxville Raceway and Bill W's Racing News on HostHeads.com. We're going to take another break, and our Parade of Champions starts for this offseason. We're going to have Jared Hall on the air. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out, foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. And this driver is kicking off our Parade of Champions for 2013, winning the MOWA Championship. And a lot of Midwestern fans familiar with Jared Hall joining us on the line. Jared, first of all, congratulations on winning the championship this year.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the MOWA series, the MOWA, Midwest Open Wheel Association. And it's a relatively new series, but it's quickly becoming one of the better regional series in the country. What is, and you've raced with a lot of different series. You've raced with the All-Stars. You've raced with various other 360 and 410 groups. What is making the MOA series grow, and what's making that series click right now?
Well, for us, it's the closest thing that we can go race 410 racing. You know, if 410s had died out, and, you know, thankful that a few people stepped up and started a series where we could get back to racing and not having to travel, you know, far, far away in Ohio or also a bit. And so that means a lot for us. It's based kind of local. I say local. But it's based out of Springfield, Illinois, which is still 3.5 hour drive for me. But it's a series that we can run and, you know, limits the driving to, you know, to not as far as what we were used to when we were traveling to Ohio.
And Jared Hall joining us on the line, and you guys were able to put together a real nice season and win that championship. Competition level-wise in that series, it seems pretty deep for a regional local-type series. How deep is the field at some of those races?
Oh, it's tough. You know, there is there's probably six or seven that can win any night, and then you throw another three or four that could, you know, that run right up front and have their chance, and then not only that, then on the special shows, you always have, you know, the Brian Brown, the Sosky, and the Carl, and, you know, you never know who's going to show up for the races. They run a first-class series, and it shows because those guys want to come race with it.
And this team, why don't you talk about the race team you're with now? Who does it comprise with? And you guys have been together for a little while, haven't you?
Yeah, Scott Bonner, he's my crew chief, and we've been together forever. I don't know, probably... well, with my deal, we've been together for probably 10 years, and then we were together way back in 2000 with Guy Webb's deal, and before that, he worked a car that we actually drove off and on through the year. So, yeah, Scott Mona's been with us, and we get along real well and pretty much know how each other thinks, and we don't have to do a lot of explaining on either end, so it works out real good.
And you've been doing this for quite a while now. You used to tour with the All-Stars, and you've raced regionally, you've raced 360s, 410s, a little bit of everything. For someone at your stage in your career, what's still enjoyable about sprint car racing?
Yeah, we enjoy, you know, pretty much all of it. I don't enjoy the car washes as much as I used to and staying up late, but for the most part, the traveling's not near as bad as it was, you know, a few years ago, and that makes it, you know, more enjoyable, but we still, the main thing that keeps us going is the wins, and we struggled a little bit early on and had some bad luck, and the wins didn't come, but then we started, you know, through the mid part of the season, everything turned around, we had 5 seconds in a row, and then the wins started coming, you know, and then we won some races, and there at the end of the year, we ended up winning one of the bigger races of around here in the Midwest, at the Queens Royal at Farmington, we were able to win that. And so, you know, halfway through the season, we just started clicking and everything just went on great from that point.
Okay, and let's say that I'm trying to go to my first MOA race, and I still am because Mother Nature hates me when I go to try to see MOA race. But let's say Mother Nature's out of the picture here, and I can pick one track to see you guys at. Which one would you recommend is probably maybe the best show or makes the best impression? Which one should I circle on my calendar as must see?
Well, there's a bunch of them. That'd be tough for me. Growing up, you know, when I first started, Jacksonville was kind of like, even though it's 4 hours from my house, I would consider that my home track, and I love that place, and we've always had good runs there. But Canton, Illinois, that Tom Knowles Memorial, for a race fan, I would say that had to be top of the line, because you not only get the MOA sprint cars, you also get the midgets there, and that track is really racy. It's a high bank, fast place, and we enjoy that and had a lot of luck there. So I would definitely try to mark that one in on the books.
And I don't want to make us sound old. We're probably about the same age, and you know, but we've been doing this a long time. So how much longer do you see yourself doing this with the sprint car racing deal?
Well, my son, he's 6 now, and he started racing quarter midgets, and he started racing last year, and he ran 5 or 6 times last year, and he's ever run 5 or 6 times in the winter. And then this year, he only got to race about 5 or 6 times again. So probably next year is going to, you know, it could be, you know, it could be next year would be the final year. So, you know, that's a good possibility. He's getting age and he's starting to be competitive. And the last time out, which was a couple of weeks ago, he was, showed a lot of aggression and was racing really nice, and I had a lot of fun doing that. So, you know, maybe next year, you know, who really knows, but it's getting close. So as soon as he gets up to, up to speed and is really competitive each and every, you know, time we go out, and I'll enjoy doing that and let him go win some races.
And now that your son's racing, how is that for you watching him race? Is it extremely nerve-wracking, or because you've done so much with the racing, is it a little bit easier for you to watch?
Well, at first it was a little nerve-wracking, you know, getting him used to cars and, you know, basically I didn't want to get any other parents, you know, upset or whatever with him doing something wrong. But he's caught on real quick, and now it's, you know, it's really enjoyable. We have a good time, and, you know, my wife goes with us and his mom, and, you know, we just make a family deal that we have a motorhome, and we can, you know, stay there all day and just have a good time. It's a really family deal there, so you know, it's not as nerve-wracking as what I would think it would be.
And is he starting to point out maybe what Dad could do better yet? Have you guys had that conversation? Like, hey, wait a second, you just started this.
Early in the year, he racked up a couple wins real quick, and until I started winning, man, I heard that a bunch, that he was always rubbing in how he had more wins than I did. So he didn't let me forget that until we started able to win here. You know, late in part of the year, he let me know.
BOA champion Jared Hull joining us. Well, Jared, I'm sure you have a few people you want to thank in this championship year for you.
Yeah, like I said, we've been together with Scott Bonner for a long time, and he takes care of the cars in Iowa, Burlington, Iowa, and basically when I show up to the track, they're ready to go. I never have to worry about that. So, you know, so we've been together a long time. He does a great job. American Rockwell come on board this year as a sponsor, as the main sponsor. You know, was a good deal, and really helped us out a bunch there at the beginning of the season that we needed. So, you know, we definitely want to thank them, and, you know, thank my family. They love racing just as much as I do, and they get to go. You know, we're blessed with a motorhome, so they're able to go with us as much as they can. So, you know, we got to thank them, and most importantly, you know, we got to thank the Lord, because, you know, he's blessed us with a lot of stuff and you know, a lot of years of racing. So we've been very fortunate to race that many years, and actually, you know, there were 3 or 4 years I was actually racing for a living. So not many people get to say they did that, and I did. So, you know, it's been a good career.
Well, Jared, I know you said it's a year or two. I hope it's more on the two side, because it's great having you involved in the sport. And best of luck during the off season. I look forward to seeing you again in 2014.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, Jared Hull, the MOA 2013 champion. And that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com. And that's going to be the first of hopefully what we're going to try to accomplish is a championship interview once a week. So we're going to try to get through as many series and as many champions as we possibly can, even into 2014, until really the racing gets cranked up here in April. It should be an interesting challenge for us to fulfill. So on behalf of everyone here at Races on the Web, thank you very much and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.